You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Brenthony Side Tano here, and I just wanted to warn all of you, this episode is not good.
You gonna give this one a soft 3?
Perhaps even a softer 2.
Well, here we are, boys. It's been a long time since we've all gotten in a room together. You know, we've been busy doing interviews with cool folks, but now it's the boys are back in town. You know, it's time for us to, you know, put our heads together, have a little bull session. You know, really bring the hot fire takes. People haven't heard from this in a long time, and I think that there's they're thirsting. They're thirsting for the. For the banter, for the news, for the jokes, you know. So should we give it to them?
I think so too. I think we've been absolutely just dominating with those fucking Patreon episodes. I mean, those are great episodes. Those aren't just extras, man. Those are probably some of our best stuff. And I think that, you know, maybe we might throw the average Joe a little bone here on this episode. Get real tasty with some of these topics. I think that's fair.
Jordan, what do you think?
Eh, whatever.
All right. Well, I guess we should kind of get into it. Anthony Fantano, Amber Thinney Alertano, the world's busiest, or the internet's busiest music nerd, kind of got ethered by Fader Magazine for revealing that he had an alternate channel that was basically dedicated to his weirdly obsessive alt-right fan base of 4chan nerds. And when YouTube stopped allowing him to monetize it, he quietly deleted it and then got real defensive that, you know, what are these people targeting me for with these hateful takes about my alt-right channel? I voted for Bernie. I don't know. Breno, you actually watched the guy's videos, or at least you've seen more than a handful. What's your take on the guy?
I mean, I only heard about I think his alternate channel was called That Is the Plan, something along those lines.
Yeah.
Something that I think he might have had that channel first, like it was his first personal YouTube account. I could totally be wrong on that. I don't remember, but and then he started the reviews channel separately, the Needle Drop. But as sort of an aside to his main Needle Drop channel where he did all the reviews and had all the subscribers, there was this alternate one where he just did all his random, you know, meme, spicy take sort of
very
videos.
Zany,
yeah,
stuff.
Very zany, weird stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So that caused kind of a ripple across the blogosphere where, it seemed like kind of a divide between dudes like me that I don't watch his videos because I've seen them before. It's deeply unpleasant to me to hear this guy talk about music.
You think so?
It's like nails on a chalkboard, man. Like, I cannot stand listening to this guy and seeing his face, especially, like, give, you know, weird, I don't know, tongue bathy reviews to, like, Death Grips. And I don't know. I don't think he has no real qualifications for anything, which neither do we. It's just, I don't understand the appeal to any of it.
He's got really great teeth, though.
They're very straight and very white. I am a little envious of that.
Just like him.
Jordan, what do you think about the Needle Drop?
I have never sat through one of his videos. I just don't have an interest listening and watching someone talk about albums. I'm kind of not really feeling just critical reviews in general. I think I've just been burnt so many times, either with music or with movies, that it just has no appeal to me. And also, he kind of looks like some people I know, so that was a bigger turnoff to me. And, you know, he was just like one of those guys who's there, you see the screenshots, you go, no thanks. And this Fader article was just like, oh, okay, I've made the right decision.
Yeah, that was kind of the take that I got from my network of dudes, just, you know, basically older crusty metal guys are like, yeah, this guy, I knew he sucked. So good. And, you know, it seems like a lot of younger folks, they enjoy watching his videos. You know, I can't speak to the quality. It's all subjective, I guess, but I would rather not watch. So they're kind of bummed about it. They feel like maybe this was unfairly targeting him in a way.
Well, I originally subscribed to him about a year or two ago because he seemed to be the kind of guy that would just review everything regardless of genre or type of music, popularity of music. Just anytime an album came out, he was kind of on top of it if it had any sort of buzz about it. So it was kind of a good way for me to sort of keep up with what's out there, what's going on, you know, what people are listening to. And I mean, like, his stuff was pretty mild, certainly at first. Before I think this election kind of caused the massive, I don't know, chasm that it's created in this nation where people have taken these really weird sides and have really weird opinions that they are now exposing to people. Particularly after he gave a negative review to Mastodon's latest album, I'm now going to agree with everything you guys say mean about him. So without any bias either.
That's interesting. So I feel like you're really onto something there with this election kind of bringing out the crazy in people, because it seems like Fatana has had a pretty big 4chan-esque audience, and if anything, the 2016 election really brought out in full force like an actual voting block in these weirdo basement 4chan types. Like, that's become an actual ideology that you can vote for.
Yeah,
so, shithead vote.
Yeah, the shithead voter. Fantano is essentially, he's essentially like the PewDiePie for music reviews.
I was going to say that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it makes sense. It's this internet personality that's really beloved by a younger generation that fucks up in creepy, racist, anti-Semitic, whatever you want to say, type of ways, and then he has his defenders no matter what happens. It's like with this article, people were coming out and saying, like, this is libelous, the Fader is making stuff up, and it's like, well, here's the screenshots, here's the videos. I was kind of confused by people just kind of making stuff up, trying to defend him.
Yeah, we got the receipts, man. Like, it's out there. It's so funny because I see this a lot, and like you said, with PewDiePie, like, people were like, oh, you should sue these news outlets who were reporting on, you know, the racist shit that he was saying. It's like, well, no, and it's suddenly very obvious to me how young, either how young or how desperately stupid their fans are, because they don't understand these basic things that we built out of our society. Like, there are reporters whose job is to report things, and that's not liable, that's not against the law. Like, that's their job. So the future is extremely shaky right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, it goes all the way up to the top. Our current president, as of this date, depending on if someone goes back a while and listens to this article, you know, listens to this podcast soon, he says it all the time. You know, fake news, I'm going to sue this, I'm going to sue that, this reporter. So I guess this is a new trend. Maybe someone's going to try to sue us soon.
That's possible, I guess. They wouldn't get anything out of it. You guys, like, number one, thank you for everyone who supports the Patreon. We're up to $400 a month now, which is like four times as much as I ever thought anybody would ever give me for this stupid, stupid site. But like,
it's like 400 times more than I thought anyone was going to give you.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, so if you want to sue me, like, those are my assets. That's what I have.
See, one of your reach goal is $20,000 to get a
face tattoo. Yeah, I decided after we blew through the...
I can conceivably contribute to that face tattoo money, like, by tomorrow, just to make it happen, just so you have to get a face tattoo.
I showed the people at work my Patreon, you know, for my real job, and they were like, oh, that's so cool that, you know, you're finally making some money with this thing. And then they look at the the stretch goal of 20K, they're like, you would actually get a face tattoo for $20,000 a month? And I'm like, the thing is, we're never going to get there. So I feel like it was a pretty safe bet by putting that up.
See, right, it's so tempting just to put a dent in my bank account just to make that happen. Buy a car, make Joe get a face tattoo.
Yeah, so either or.
If you were going to sue Toilet of Hell for something we wrote about, I would say wait until we hit that flex goal and I get that face tattoo, and then I'm sitting in a courtroom like an asshole with a face tattoo, and I'm obviously going to lose. So
speaking of assholes in courtrooms with face tattoos, have you guys gotten a load of this?
Have you seen it? Have you heard of this?
see this whole...
That was a good transition. Props on that. That was well done.
Welcome, man. That's what I'm here for. Have you guys seen this whole thing with Vince Staples and our good friend Ronnie Radke from Falling in Reverse?
Hell yeah. This is probably the funniest thing that I've read in quite a while. Because last night, my phone was blowing up with dudes on Twitter like, look at this. This is hilarious. The dude from Falling in Reverse, Ronnie Radke, who, you know, we've talked about on the show before. He's, I'm not sure the right word for this, a bad person. He's a very bad person. He's the reason that no rock bands are able to play Six Flags anymore. That might have been a Patreon episode. That's a really funny episode. Subscribe to the Patreon and listen to that one.
Yeah, so that we can get Joe a face tattoo. It's interesting to find out that what happened was he actually smacked a young girl with a microphone. I thought from the sounds of it he had sexually assaulted a girl, which I just took that as what happened because it's probably what happened. But I think he actually hit a girl. I couldn't remember if it was on purpose or if he was swinging his microphone like an idiot. I don't know the story, but we're talking about it anyway.
So, yeah, I don't know if you guys recall, depending on what kind of media you consume, like, a lot of our metal audience might have missed out on this, and, like, God bless you. Like, you made the right call, somehow consuming media that allowed you to miss out on this entirely. But I'm sorry that I'm going to make you aware of it now. Eminem released this, like, freestyle video, like a really well-produced video for just about the most garbage-ass fucking freestyle I've ever heard in my life. The punchline of which was, Donald Trump is bad. And, like, you had 50-year-old millionaire liberal types like Keith Olbermann, like, wow. You know, in 30 years, I've never respected hip-hop until right now. This is the best political writing of the year.
I had my doubts about hip-hop. I doubted hip-hop. I couldn't quite trust hip-hop until this happened. Until I saw what a white man who is just as rich as me could say about it.
And, I'm almost tempted to play, like, a clip from this because it is so trash. It's like, hot coffee pot drop. Donald Trump.
It's the calm before the storm right here.
Wait, how was I gonna start this off?
I forgot. Oh yeah. That's an awfully hot coffee pot. Should I drop it on Donald Trump? Probably not, but that's all I got till I come up with a solid...
You are orange, like a door hinge.
Oh.
You think that you have a big wall? Well, I'm... just as tall.
You're like a Cheeto, man. I don't like immigrants.
I
dope.
Fuck it. this is why he wrote it down before he did it, obviously. But freestyle rap, what are you gonna do?
Oh my god. So anyway, that whole thing sucked. And Vince Staples, who is a young rapper dude who's actually really talented. And it bums me out that he's like 23 years old. He was tweeting that it was trash because it is, and it's also kind of really funny how trash it is. And Ronnie Radke pops up. He of the white rap acclaim in Falling in Reverse says, "Man, I don't know you, and you can have an opinion, but I think your ass is a straight liar. M will end your career. Tread lightly." So Vince just replies back very calmly with, "Shut that bitch ass up, Ronald." which is
Ronald.
Great. Radke replied.
That's McDonald's new slogan.
That's right. If they want to get that millennial market, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, Radke replied with a picture of Vince Staples' face next to Goofy the dog from Walt Disney. And Vince replied, "Ain't you fresh off a gang rape charge? Leave me alone, little white man." He replies, "You all good, man. About to bump some of your shit right now. I've never heard of it."
What?
Vince replies, "I haven't heard of you either, because I'm too black for your music. Just make sure that when you see me, your makeup is off so we can have a grown man conversation." Radke replies, "Did you literally square up to me on Twitter? I'm crying." Vince hits back, "Say one thing about one freestyle and the lead singer of Fallout bitch don't like me. Man, what did I get myself into?" And from there, he just continues to hit and continues to hit. Radke replies, "Okay, your music actually goes hard. I never lie." Vince replies with my favorite quote of the year, "Unhinge my black dick."
I don't even think that's fair to Fall Out Boy to, like, get them involved.
I agree. Oh, yeah.
I think that falling in reverse is, I mean, an insult all in their own right to music.
Before we close this out, the one final exchange, Radke is again, like, acquiescing. He says, "All good, man. I don't hate you." And Vince finally replies, "It's fine. Just close your eyes and pretend I'm a woman. Maybe you'll swing."
One of my favorite parts of this whole exchange was some random Vince Staples fan. I don't know who it was, but they like retweeted a picture of what Ronnie Radke looks like and said something along the lines of, "You look like the type of guy who dates a 14-year-old girl because that's how you are on the inside."
I totally believe that. The dude's a fucking creep. Falling in reverse fucking sucks. I think he's killed a guy, so...
Yeah. As we've discussed on a Patreon episode, you guys should subscribe.
It's a real funny ass episode, y'all. You know, I don't know about you, but I'd probably subscribe so I could hear that one.
Shit.
Oh yeah, and Anthony Fitano got his ass in the way on this one. To bring it back full circle, he tweeted, yeah. We live in a weird world where Vince Staples and Ronnie Radke openly beef on Twitter. And Vince retweeted him saying, "Ain't you get caught being alt-right? This ain't a good day to interact with me, bros, if I'm going out full clip." Vince, you're a hero. Never change.
Yeah, Vince. I'm gonna get into hip-hop just because of you, man. Making it happen.
Man, it's funny. Like, I guess we've been strongly hip-hop on this episode, which is ostensibly about metal.
There might be a guitar solo somewhere in Ronnie Radke's repertoire played by somebody else.
I mean, there's something that sounds like a guitar. It's probably not, but computer-generated.
Speaking of Ronnie Radke, one more point. It's like, man, hasn't there been enough stuff going on where Rick and Morty gets ruined for me? Have you seen his profile picture where he looks like Rick Sanchez with, like, the Ronnie Radke tattoos and hair?
Okay, so I've seen, I think, 2, maybe 3 episodes of Rick and Morty, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But everything that their fans do on the internet, it turns me off completely. Like, this might as well be Family Guy in my mind now.
Oh, like, shit, dude. It's so much. It's like a good, it's a funny, good show. And I just want it to be that without like an entire universe of morons associated with it. And Justin Roiland's like a legit dude. Like, he's funny as hell. And I just, I mean, I don't know. There's been back and forth about Dan Harmon and what kind of a person he is to work with, especially for young women. But who knows? But otherwise, I mean, it's a legitimately good show. I just wish I could enjoy it like anything in this world.
The thing is, nerds ruin everything.
Yes.
Like, literally everything. And it goes down from like, you know, the black metal nerds like that sent death threats to Merkur for like making terrible music. I'm just kidding. And Holly Braun. You're okay, I guess, as long as I'm not a Muslim. And it goes all the way to, like, these fucking chuds flipping out at McDonald's because they couldn't get their cartoon barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Have you seen – there's, like, videos of guys getting up on the counter and screaming and doing, like, Pickle Rick dances and stuff. And
like, I this makes me want to not watch that show so hard. Like,
just – I mean, it's – it sucks. It's too bad because it's a great show. It's funny. you know, it's not mind blowing. It's not the greatest thing that ever happened to cinema, but or you know, television. But it's like it's worth it. It's like a good show. I just wish that
Jordan, have you ever seen it?
Freaking good.
I was watching Hulu once, and I don't know if anyone else uses Hulu, but you can finish an episode of something, and it'll play just random things sometimes, and that's what happened to me. It's like, all right, I'll watch one episode and see what the big deal is. I lasted about 3 minutes, didn't crack a smile, said, nah, I'm good. And after hearing all this just ridiculous stuff from their fan base, I have less than zero interest in watching it ever again.
What was really funny was the like the flash animations that predate Rick and Morty, where it was a little more obvious, like it was Marty McFly and the Doc.
Yeah, wasn't it supposed to be like originally Doc and Marty?
Yeah, exactly. It was Doc and Marty, and they were like horribly, horribly animated, and the jokes were really ridiculous and obscene. But their voices were more or less exactly the same. So I only found out about Doc and Marty after watching Rick and Morty for a couple of years. So it's even more hilarious to watch them be like, you gotta suck my nuts to stop time from collapsing, Marty. You gotta do it, and just shit like that.
It's a pretty good impression.
Yeah, it's really highbrow stuff.
Well, the thing is, like, I can't imagine, just to use another popular cartoon, like, I can't imagine fans of, like, BoJack Horseman doing something like that. like this whole fucking cartoon saw stunt, like, and maybe that's just my personal preferences, but it feels like that show is actually like a little bit more emotionally mature.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick between the two, I would definitely go with BoJack. That's a much better show, but you know, I should be able to have my shows, guys. Cool it down.
My stories.
That's right.
Yeah, speaking of dumb nerd shit, I went and saw Insane Clown Posse last night.
This is a metal podcast, guys, we swear.
So I do have something metal to contribute to this. Insane Clown Posse came to Austin last year, like 1 year ago exactly, to do Riddle Box in its entirety, and they came back 1 year later exactly to do The Great Malenko in its entirety. Last year I went and saw it with W and Leif Berrickson, and we did a podcast episode about it afterwards. And this year I took my lady so that we could have a nice grown-up adult night out getting soaked in Faygo. There is something metal related to this, though. As I mentioned last year, it happened again. And that there was a guy in the audience dressed up exactly like Chad Gray from Mudvayne from the Dig video, like head to toe exactly. Face paint, like the long ass goatee, the weird hunched over posture, like dead to rights. So I was glad to see him again.
Do you remember what he used to be called, Chad Gray? His Mudvayne name? Cud.
Cud?
With a K, I swear.
That's disgusting.
They used to all have different stupid names like that.
And did they? Do you remember? Do you remember the other ones? What was
Cud,
the
Rhino?
Oh,
Spag was the drummer, and Gerg was the guitarist.
That is disgusting.
I don't know how to do like fractions anymore, but I remember Mudvayne's fake names.
Yeah, right. It's like right alongside your middle school locker combination.
Yeah, every time I read about, like, the stupid Rick and Morty cartoon sauce incident, I forget something important, like how to do math.
Yeah. Like how to hold a child.
And it was fun. Like, after the show ended, we were soaked in root beer. I called an Uber, and the Uber stopped on the other side of Insane Clown Posse's bus, and I was, like, running around to get to the ride, and like their bodyguard like physically held me up. He's like, bro, where are you going? I'm like, I don't, because ICP was there talking to some chicks that were trying to get on their bus. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I don't give a fuck. I'm trying to go home. So that was fun. The Juggalettes are wild for these, these dudes in clown makeup pushing 50. It's great.
I can't imagine how many ladies there had their teeth, but it must have been willing, so that's something.
Yeah, it was interesting. Super nice crowd, though. Super nice group of people.
Oh yeah.
And like my lady had commented, like, everyone here is so much nicer than the shores we normally go to.
So there you go, guys. It's like they get labeled as a gang, but they're like way better than we are.
Yeah, we should definitely be better than we are.
Yes, we're working on it.
Like, I went to the bathroom, I was peeing, and the guy next to me was, like, saying that I was locked up last year, so I didn't get to go to that show, but I'm so glad that I'm here now. Like, this guy's obviously some kind of criminal, but he was such a nice dude.
Cool, do we have to talk about this while we're, you know, holding their Johnsons?
That's right. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. What have you guys been up to recently?
I went to Rock and Shock yesterday with the missus, which is a horror convention. It's kind of like the biggest horror convention in the area. And it was just trash this year. This year it was such a downer. It was the lamest it's ever been. Well, they had like no, like usually pretty much the big draw to Rock and Shock is they at least get a couple big name guests, like people who were involved in very popular horror movies. Like only just a couple years ago, they had George Romero, for Christ's sakes. They had last year they had Matthew Lillard from like the Scooby-Doo movies and Scream, and they had like the Scream cast there, and they did like a Scream panel. It was like the 20th anniversary of Scream. It was awesome. But this year they had like they were gonna have like the big guy was James Remar, who played the dad from Dexter. And that was, yeah. and then he canceled like 2 days before the convention. So they had to go get like Tom Payne, who plays Jesus from The Walking Dead, as his replacement. Other than that, they had like Tom Savini, the SFX guy. He's famous for being the guy with the dick gun from
Machine.
Yep. And then just a bunch of nobodies. Like, they had the guy who was the kid from the original Chucky movie, like, posing with people as an adult with his Chucky doll, you know? That's got to be the life, you know?
I guess. That sounds pretty fucking dire, man. Like, really grasping at straws.
Right.
Didn't you meet Phil Anselmo there a couple of years ago?
It was actually last year I met Phil Anselmo there. And this was probably only a couple weeks after the whole incident, which we all know Phil Anselmo for. And I just thought to myself, man, wouldn't it be so fucking funny and so incendiary to just get a photo with this guy, like gooning with him, just to make people upset on Twitter. And like, of course, when I met him, he's like the most syrupy, sweet, gentle, wonderful guy I've ever met in my entire life. I've never had a guy who had any status be so nice to me. And it's like, now I'm just like, oh, come on, guys. He was joking. You know, he's a good person.
You should have presented him with a bottle of white wine.
That's right. I should have got him some of that lemon vodka.
Wait, lemon vodka? What is that?
That's what it actually was. Because someone tried to show photographic evidence of his white wine claim to, you know, make his joke worth it, I guess. And the bottle he was really holding was like a bottle of lemon flavored vodka.
And which is like so lame.
What a like, strange thing for a grown man to drink.
For a band that like partied as hard as Pantera, like the, you know, the Black Tooth grin, brother. Like, it's such a bummer to find out like Phil Anselmo is drinking like rich white woman drinks.
Like rich white women's daughters drinks.
Yeah. Like the next photo you see of him like doing something racist, he's going to be holding a bottle of Zima.
Goldschlager.
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
So we walked around and we checked out all the different vendors and stuff, cuz people sell, like, you know, they like to sell their art, they like to sell posters, t-shirts. We probably walked up and down for like 3 hours, and then we were just like, let's get out of here. It's kind of a bummer. We drove all the way out there and then, you know, just kind of drove back with our tails between our legs. Such a letdown. I guess it was some sort of transitional year. They usually have like a different promoter who handles it all and gets it all set up. But I guess this year they got some newbie who just totally sucks.
Screw the pooch, noob.
Yeah, yep. Rock and Shock also, for people that don't know, has 3 days of concerts as well. Yeah, so you could have. Did you see the lineup this year?
That would be where the Rock comes in, right?
Yes. It was funny because Superjoint was the headliner for the day I was going, and so Phil Anselmo was there, but I don't know. I think he probably had a pretty bad time doing the meet and greets last year, so for obvious reasons, so he probably decided not to this year. Yeah, it was super. They always have a really lame lineup. Like, I think one year they had like Danzig, and it was pretty cool, but this year was kind of a bust.
Yeah, the day you were there, Saturday, I'll just run through the band. Superjoint, Motionless in White.
Oh, boy.
The Amity Affliction. Ugh. The Rocking Dead, who was just like an amalgam of a bunch of musicians like Wednesday 13 and AC Slade that, you know, no one's really interested in. Devil Driver. Miss May I. Something called Haddonfield. Something called William Control. King Parrot. Kane Hill. Child Bite.
I don't know. King Parrot's good. That's about it, though.
And Twisted is on Sunday.
Yes, oh, Twisted okay, is
that's,
tonight.
That's worthwhile.
Yeah.
I got a taste, man. Like, there's a little bit of Juggalo in my blood, and it's never gonna come out now.
Well, I think you could take something to control the flare ups, at least.
All right. Well, what about you, Jordan? How's your weekend? What were you up to?
Doing okay. I saw 36 Crazy Fists about a week ago, and people can go back and listen to my interview with the vocalist Brock. I did that a couple weeks ago. It was a good show, you know, had a lot of fun. They were great. The opening bands were kind of interesting, I guess, compared to their sound. 36 Crazy Fists is, you know, more or less a metalcore band. Direct support was The Last 10 Seconds of Life, who are, you know, generic, super dumb as you could be, no offense to them.
No offense.
Deathcore. I don't mean they're stupid, it's just chug-a-da-chug, chug-a-da-chug.
It's
chug-a-da-chug. So it was fine for what it was if they played for like 20 minutes, but they played for like 35-40, and she's like, oh my god, make it stop. So they were fine. And then there was the first touring band. They're called Charcoal Tongue. And I encourage people to look them up just because it's 2017 and it's shocking to think people still make like dancey new metal.
Interesting.
It was very strange. It wasn't necessarily bad, but it was like, oh, you guys really like Korn, and I could see your laptop, you know, as you're playing all the background blips and bleeps.
Finally did it, you guys. I was able to pick up a Super Nintendo Classic. The miniature Super Nintendo that has like a bunch of games already on it. And I'd been trying for months, you know, fruitlessly. But I have it. It's hooked up to my television, and I still have yet to turn it on.
What? Just give it to someone who can use it.
I feel like such a piece of shit. Like, because yesterday I was like, oh man, I'm finally gonna dive into this thing, and then it's like, well, actually, like, there's a bunch of yard work that needs to be done, and like, really need to straighten out my office, and I need to organize my cassettes for the new for the next Patreon episode, and it's just like, ugh. I'm 30 years old, and I think I'm too old the game now, and it sucks.
Man, it's like you say, Ronnie Radke's a bad person, but look at you, just. Look at you. I mean, no, I don't have time for video games anymore either. I used to love that shit. I used to be able to dive in to something like Skyrim or Demon's Souls for hours and hours and hours nonstop. But I don't get the allure anymore. I get bored with them way too fast, or I'm too busy.
I have a solution for how to get yourself to play it.
Okay.
Go to McDonald's, get Rick and Morty Szechuan sauce, and cover your SNES with it, and you'll be all over it.
So you had this Super Nintendo, and it's not covered in Szechuan sauce, but regardless, you wanted to play it, and you just haven't. Now, I got a question about this SNES Classic little mini thing. Is there, like, games on there that you really wish were on there, and they're just not there? Should be on there.
Okay, so I'll admit that I'm a little bit weird in that, like, the games that I most liked as a kid were games that, like, objectively suck. Cause I was a sucker for licensed games as a kid, and kind of still am as an adult.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're trying to say.
Like, LJN, that company that put out, and Acclaim, and all of these people that put out games that are, like, based on movies that are obviously rated hard R that a child is never going to see, but for some reason they made an Nintendo
game. Total Recall, Die Hard, Evil Goose.
I thought you were going to talk about the Lion King video game. That was hard as shit.
Yeah,
you guys remember that ostrich level?
I never played those games because I at the time I was like, man, that shit's for babies. I want to play like hard. I want to play Aliens 3 for the Super Nintendo. Which
you're a baby. Yeah, Aliens 3 was great. I fucking love that game.
Yeah, man. And you know, I think I saw Aliens 3 for the first time like when I was 25. So there were a lot of disconnects between that video game and in the movie. For one, I don't think there were any weapons in the entire movie.
I remember when I had the video game, I would argue long into the night with my older brother about how Ripley was definitely a dude. There was no way. And he was very adamant about the fact that no, it's played by Sigourney Weaver. It's a woman, because he was a year older than me, the fucking know-it-all.
And, my lady, she rides for Sigourney. She would have slapped the taste out of your mouth.
Well, I was like six, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
What do you want from me?
I mean, no, that's being young isn't an excuse.
She definitely would have slapped you.
I guess not. So, yeah, and I mean, like, I think I felt the same way about Samus Aran or something. I was pretty adamant. Yeah, it's a dude. Look, see.
Dude, I really wanted to play like Judge Dredd for the Super Nintendo, but it didn't come with the Super Nintendo Classic because why the fuck would they ever put that on there? Instead, they put on like a bunch of Mario games and like Metroid and stuff like that. Games that people actually like. Fortunately, somebody is doing the yeoman's work right now. They've already built out like a framework for you to hook your Super Nintendo Classic up to your computer and just download all the ROMs you want to put on there. So
great.
I will be able to play terrible licensed games soon. I'm looking forward to playing Terminator 2, and just like when I was a child, never getting past the second level.
I think you got to go a little deeper though. I think you got to get yourself the video game where you played the 7-Up dot with the sunglasses.
Oh, cool spot. Yeah,
cool spot.
I played that one as a kid.
You also got to get the video game where you played as the that shitty weird cartoon mascot they had for the 1996
Izzy.
Summer Olympics, Izzy.
Yeah, I played all these shitty games, man. Like, and it goes deeper. Like, there are so many like weird, like left field license titles, like Bebe's Kids. Do you remember that like anime movie? They made a fucking video game out of that. So I got a lot of license shit that I want to pile through, you know.
Got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, you know, so for the PlayStation, there was a Fifth Element video game. Like you guys have seen the Fifth Element, right?
Oh yeah.
That's like one of my favorite movies of all time.
Didn't we talk about how great of a movie that was with the blue lady and her guts being rocks, and then they had Chris Tucker being funny as fuck, and then they had we talked about this. I know we did.
So they made a PlayStation video game, and it is like, I remember when it came out, like, reviewers were like, this is borderline unplayable, this is fucking garbage. But I rented it, and I thought it was actually pretty good. And I think it's just because, like, I have an attachment to that movie so much that I just want to, play that game.
You should check out the Planet of the Apes video game that came out for, like, the Marky Mark Wahlberg one that came out later. It just, like, came out alongside it.
How is it?
The Angry Video Game Nerd played it, so you can check that out. Find out.
Is that another one of those guys that, like, talks about things on the camera?
Man, you really don't watch YouTube. You really don't watch YouTube.
It's true, I don't. Jordan, you actually watch some dudes, right?
Yeah, I have a couple of favorites that I watch on a pretty regular basis. It's actually kind of replaced television for me in a weird way. I think it's because there's always new episodes. Some of these people record literally every day for like 4, 5, 6 hours. So there's kind of always something to watch. So I think that's part of the reason.
That's interesting. I'm totally a podcast guy now. Like I'm a paid Patreon subscriber on 3 different podcasts. Like I've got new episodes coming in all the time. And like, that's kind of all I want to do. Like if I've got the free time to listen, because I mean, I can do other things while I'm listening, which is a big plus there. And I feel like I don't get that with video. I don't know. What are some of the dudes that you watch?
I like watching One Shot Girl, Pro Jared, Peanut Butter Gamer, Jim Sterling, who's just incredibly funny. I know, Brenda, you like him.
Jim Sterling's the fucking man. I love Jim Sterling.
So, you know, a couple people like that. Some other people I used to watch turned out to be scumbags, you know.
As is the case with most YouTubers, yeah.
John Tron, for example. But
Metal.
It's best just to not watch anything. Just listen to podcasts the whole time.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, one of the podcasts I really like, they got in trouble for tweeting, like, a really tasteless Bill Cosby joke over the weekend. So
I saw that.
I heard about that, yeah.
It just shows everybody will let you down.
Well, it's the truth. Sooner or later, everyone will disappoint you.
I think that, like, and I honestly, like, this is something we probably need to address, because we spend so much time shitting on dudes that, like, do dumb things, but, like, there does need to be a level of forgiveness, like, as well, as long as the person is willing to, like, accept, maybe I might have fucked up and how can I improve in the future. That's not really the case with, like, the NSBM dudes. Like, they're irredeemable trash. Like, I don't give a fuck that Graveland no longer makes music that he considers NSBM. Like, he's still that guy.
Right, right. And as I've kind of told people, you know, people love to argue, well, the lyrics, the music isn't anything about that. And I'm like, well, like, how do you know about Varg Vikernes? How do you know about Rob Darkin? It's from their music. They use their fame from these platforms, you know, from their music to create a platform for themselves to say all this shit. So, I mean, is it really innocent? No. So,
I mean, is it so hard for, like, some of these dudes that fuck up to be like, hey, I realized that I was dumb and I fucked up and I sincerely apologize and I will, like, work to correct this? But, like, it seems like folks are incapable of doing that.
No, they have to intellectually dig themselves into a deeper hole with gymnastics.
Yeah, they're not really sorry. They're sorry they got caught.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. If like, Phil Anselmo came out, like, tomorrow and said, like, okay, my behavior has been erratic at best over the years, and I'd just like to clarify, like, I am sorry for doing these things because it is wrong for this reason. Instead of, like, you totally misinterpreted my joke. It's about white wine. Also, I was abused as a kid, which is why I did it. what?
Well, it's funny because originally he did that exact thing. He was, like, out in a porch in the bayou somewhere, and he just, like, kind of just sat there and put his heart out and said, you know, I'm really sorry from the bottom of my heart. It was wrong. You know, I hope everyone can forgive me. And then somehow I think somebody got into his ear about social justice warriors and how they're full of shit. And then after that, he started going on this, like, I don't know, like this tour of interviews and podcasts and things where he just, like, said, everybody's got to be stop being such a pussy. So I don't know. He could have just shut up and it would have been fine, I think. But oh, well.
I mean, like, the last fucking record had, like, a song on it called Clickbait.
That's like, right.
The last Super Joint album. He got so mad about people reporting on this that he wrote Clickbait, which is a new level of red and nude and mad online that I think that we should all aspire to get to.
all the check marks, red and nude and mad and online. I don't know. Speaking of messing up a little bit, I mean, did you want to touch on a bit about this email we received, or should we just?
Yeah, I think this is probably a good place for it. I got an email shortly after our episode where we were really putting the screws to Neil Jameson, and it's from a reader that, you know, is a reader / listener. He's a big fan of the site, and he kind of rightfully took me to task on that episode for some of the things that I said. I had summed up a bunch of Neil Jameson's behavior, saying, Neil, you need to seek professional help. Our listener took offense to that, and rightfully so, because Toilet of Hell has done a lot of posts where we are basically trying to empathize with people in mental health issues. I think it was Decapitron put out that article where it was sharing stories from dudes in the toilet of their struggles with mental health. So me saying, like, kind of flippantly that, Neil, you need help, was was destructive and counter to that attitude. And I totally agree with you, and I apologize for doing that. One of the things about this show is that it's all off the dome. We really don't plan much at all with this. So sometimes I say something that is entirely stupid and inappropriate, which is the case there. All three of us on this podcast have all had our struggles with our own mental health. I believe that we were talking about this on recording that we've all spent a fair amount of time in therapy and taking various medications trying to deal with those things. I've had a history of anxiety and depression, and it's been a struggle for a long time. So I don't want to make light of any of that. I highly encourage anybody that has any number of these issues to actually seek help. That's not supposed to be a flippant thing. I mean, like, seriously, please do. It's good for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the thing where you say off the dome, it's important. You know, we all kind of come from a bit of a, I'd say it's a bit of a different time. I mean, I think we're probably 10 years the senior of a lot of people who I find myself talking to online, where, you know, you could make these kind of jokes and it was just so acceptable and it was so okay. I mean, you said earlier about letting people down, and if you guys didn't edit out half the stuff I said on this podcast, I would have let a lot of people down, I think. So, you know, we appreciate you guys pointing it out. And we'll try not to be too defensive and try not to, you know, argue if we do something that someone finds genuinely kind of out of mode. I mean, I get it. And I think that it's fine. We call people to task regularly on here, so I think we should be, you know, be able to take the same amount of scrutiny.
Yeah. So, I mean, I will do my best to do better in the future. I'm probably going to say some other stupid shit in the future, because that's my nature, and I'll probably apologize for that too.
Right.
Thank you for emailing me and pointing that out, and that's good food for thought, man.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out some different choice words for Neil Jameson, which is always fun. So no worries.
I mean, I still think that if nothing else, right, Jameson is a giant fucking troll.
Fair enough.
Like a physical troll, not like he's been written up in lore over the years.
He lives underneath a bridge and clubs people and eats their bones, type of troll.
Charges children pieces of silver to cross.
Right, arguments with goats.
Answer
like that.
These riddles three.
Such and such. I wouldn't call him giant by any means, but
I mean, trolls aren't by nature giant. I think it's rare that they are.
Yeah, fair.
I hope I get an email from Mortis after this, like, hey, do not make fun of trolls. Just flying away with his leathery wings. You know, we're almost at time. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
No, you know, all I can think about now is Mortis, like, flying away in, like, certain awkward situations. Like, he has to go to a party with his girlfriend, and people are weird to him. And he's just like, I got to go to my car for a second. And he just flies away.
His wings just rip out of his sweater.
So it is the time of Halloween. We've got, I guess, we're probably going to do three more episodes between now and the new month. So we've got plenty of time to cover ground. I did want to, mention, my lady put on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. She put that on the TV the other night. I had never seen it before. Have you guys seen that one?
Is that the one with the sheriff who's got, like, the dueling chainsaws?
Yeah.
Oh, such a good movie.
It was cool. And it's such a strange departure in tone from the first one. But I enjoyed it a lot. And then I realized that, like, Rob Zombie, like, House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects, like, he just ripped this shit the fuck off. Like,
he's
never had an original idea. Like, the two Rob Zombie movies I enjoy, now I realize, like, oh, yeah, you just stole those.
Well, it's funny. The original Texas Chainsaw, like you said, it's really, like, gritty and serious and has this really kind of truly terrifying tone. Whereas like Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 is like, from what I recall, it's been many years since I've seen it, but it's like all campy and synth, right? Like it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's very goofy, very goofy. But you know, also like very fun. Like I think it's very self-aware of what it is. Yeah. And like Leatherface is completely like infantilized in this one. He's kind of like a lovable goof, even as he's like murdering people and like putting the faces of dudes on people.
Yeah. No, I've seen the first one. I liked it a lot. I think it just doesn't really have a lot of appeal to me, just the sequels. I think that's the case for a lot of horror movies. I do know that there is a Texas Chainsaw sequel with Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger.
Yeah, that's the fourth one. I believe Renee Zellweger is like the lady Leatherface in that one. Renee Zellweger. And like I was reading about that movie like while I was watching part two, so I'm definitely going to watch that one.
It's called like Texas Chainsaw: The New Beginning or something ridiculous like that.
No, that might be a different one. Because there's like three sequels to the original one, like a reboot, an origin story, like another reboot.
There's like a 3D movie.
Yeah, there's another one coming out soon called I think Leatherface. So there's a lot of Chainsaw Massacre to go around, man.
No, I think Viggo Mortensen, I don't know if he was in 3 or 4, but like
he's in
his
the third one.
The third one, yeah, like his claim to fame is like random hillbilly brother number 2 before he did Lord of the Rings.
That's badass. Yeah, so I'm thinking for one of these future episodes this month, we should go through like a long-running horror movie franchise and then go through all these movies. What do you think?
I think I need to give Dream Warriors another spin.
Oh man, I love Dream Warriors. That's such a good one. Like that might be my favorite. I think I wrote it in the note of every cassette that I sent out for the Patreon, but like Halloween 3 is my favorite Halloween. It's just such a strange departure from the series. There's no Michael Myers. Like it's just so good.
Oh, we got that note. So that's not the one that has like the little girl wearing the clown costume. Which one's that one? There's like the little girl involved.
I don't know if there's a little girl like
the niece of Michael Myers or something.
Oh yeah, that's a different one. Part 3 is Season of the Witch. Originally the Halloween series was meant to be like an anthology thing where it like had different stories. It wasn't all centered on Michael Myers, but Michael Myers was like so successful for them. Like so iconic that like they did part 1, it was successful, part 2 was hugely successful, and then part 3 they were like, okay, well let's get around to that anthology thing that we were talking about and just tell a completely different horror story. This one revolved around evil Halloween masks, and by part 4 they were like, well, back on Michael Myers.
I love it. We should definitely have a 2017 spooktacular. I'm very much looking forward to it. I don't know, maybe Patreon specific. Do you guys like American Horror Story? Did you want to get into the different seasons of that, or?
I saw the first season and it didn't really do much for me enough to like
continue. They lost me at Ghost Rape.
Man, you guys, come on.
Wait, which season was Ghost Rape then?
Like all of them.
Yeah, I watched one episode and I'm just like, wait, what? What's happening?
Yeah, that was season one. Yeah. Specifically Rubberman. Very strong first season.
I was drinking really heavily when I was watching that season, so yeah. I might have forgotten a couple of things.
That's fine. We will shelve American Horror Story. It's fine. But yeah, we'll definitely get into some different movies.
There is Tales from the Crypt. A lot of episodes are on YouTube. That's an option.
Ooh, there's also the movies Demon Knight and Bordello of Blood.
And there's a third one, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was. I actually covered this on my old blog. I'm blanking on the name, but it was like Tales from the Crypt, but the movie wasn't really good, so they like...
Lost you. You're not talking about that... like that stories book with like Stephen King did the comic book. What was that one called?
No. Hold on. Give me a second. I'll look it up.
I thought the Black Dahlia Murder did an awesome music video with all those different stories. I just can't remember for the life of me what it was like. Like Nightmare Stories. What the hell is that thing called?
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys, know what I'm talking about? The Stephen King. Okay, there's like a Stephen King comic book, and it has like three or four different stories. One of them was like there was a werewolf in a box in a basement.
Oh, Creepshow.
Creepshow. Thank you.
Oh.
Yeah, it was Stephen King, George Romero.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, the Tales from the Crypt, the third movie, is called Ritual.
Ritual. That's badass.
Yeah, it's not very
Let's
good.
Watch that shit. Oh, never mind then. All right, well, also, tell us in the comments on this episode what series you think you guys think we should go through, because we are definitely over time on this one. Anything to say before we wrap it up?
Nah.
Have a toot-tacular Halloween.
Okay. Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Yeah.
listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.